Okay. Okay, any other points? Yeah. All right, we'll come back to the Vavlev Shemar Sadov. We'll come back to it later, but I want to think of another point there. The point we were discussing was a point of knowledge last week, right? The concept of knowledge. So there's a... there's a Gemara in, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that deals with the... With Misas Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, if you go on this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Omole Nikra Kosovi Eshel Amra. Okay, Omole Nikra Kosovi Eshel Amra. If it weren't for the possible, it would be impossible to make this statement. Which statement? The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Heichan Moshe Meis, where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Bechelko Shel Reuven. He died in Reuven's chelik. Because it says, Dechsiv Vayal Moshe Me'arvos Moav El Har Nevo. Unevo Bechelko Shel Reuven Kaimo. Because it says, V'nei Reuven Bonu Eschezben Eschezben Nevo. And by Mikne Rav, in the end of Matos. The end of Matos. So, right. So Nevo is in Reuven. So Vayal Moshe Me'arvos Moav El Har Nevo. Okay. So he went up in Chelkel Shel Reuven. But then it says Veichan Moshe Kavur. Where is he buried? The Chelkel Shel Gad. Because it says in Vezos Habracha, Vayar Reish Yislo Kishom Chelkas Mechokek Zafon. I mean, God's chelik is where Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mechokek, is buried. Okay? So, the Gemara asks, Mechelko shel Reuven and Chelko shel Gad, how far is it from Reuven's chelik to God's chelik? It says, Arba Milu, 4 miles. So, the Gemara says, Osa Arba Milu miho licho. So, he died. He died in Chelko Shel Reuven. So yeah, he is Meis Chelko Shel. He died in Chelko Shel Reuven. So he had to go travel 4 miles. So who carried him? So it says Malameid Shoya Moshe Mutl BeKanfei Shechina. That the Kanfei Shechina carried him 4 miles from Chelko Shel Reuven to Chelko Shel God. Umalachei Asharis Omrim. And the Malach Asharis were maspid him, and they said, Tzitkes Ad Hashem Oso Mishpotav Nisro. That's the end of that pasuk over there in Vezos Habracha, because it says, Vayar Reish Yislo, Kishom Chelkas Mechokek Sofon. Vayese Roshe Om, Tzitkes Ad Hashem Oso Mishpotav Nisro. So Vayese Roshe Om is going on Moshe Rabbeinu. I think Tirgum translates in terms of that. Vayese Roshe Om, he brought the Roshe Om. It's Sitkas Hashem, also Moshe Rabbeinu did Sitkas Hashem, Hashem and Mishpotav in Israel. Okay? So the Malach Asharis said that. Sitkas Hashem, also Mishpotav in Israel. So that was the Hesped that the Malach Asharis said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? That's an interesting Hesped. Interesting Hesped. So you'll see how it's Mashlan. But, yeah. So the Gemara says, so that's what the Malach Asharei said. They just said that Tzitkes Ad Hashem Osa, Moshe Rabbeinu did Tzitkes Ad Hashem, Umishpotav Yisrael, and his Mishpat for Klal Yisrael. It means between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dan Klal Yisrael, Mishpotav Yisrael. Okay. So Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Mi Yokum Liyim Nereim. Mi is Yatsev Liam Powerly often. You have machlokas. Shmuel Amar Mika Chachma Yedei Peshet Davar, and then Rabbi Yochanan says Chachma Me'ayin Timsa. That's Rav Nachman. I don't know Rav Nachman something different, but there's three pshatim here. So what is the? Let's just take one time. You'll see the whole thing when you see what they say. So Akash Baruch Hu says Mi Yakum Li in Mereyin, Pasuk in Tehillim. There was a Kaddish Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't think it's Machlekes. I think they're all saying different aspects of it. But the Malach HaShoreis said, Sitkes at Hashem, also Mishpat of Yisrael, and the Malach HaShoreis, I'm sorry, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Miyakum Li and Mirayim, that's one pshat, or Shmuel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mika Chacham and Miyadeh Pesha Dovar, or Rabbi Yechanan says that he said, HaChachma Me'ayin Timtza. I think we'll see what they think, Shatma. But, yeah, so that's why, now you understand why it says that Umolei Mikra Kosov Yeshel Omro. Yeshel Omro is going on the last thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that Miyakum Liyam Arayim, Mika Chachum Miyadeh Pesha Davar, or HaChachma Me'ayin Timtza. It's like, that's Kaviyachal. Because it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody. You see, this week's Parsha, I mean, we almost lost Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why the Gemara says that E'ef Shel Omro, that if it wasn't a Mikra Kosev, you would not be able to express it. Of course, it doesn't mean that. It means that it's a great loss. It's a great loss for Klal Yisrael. But that type of expression is absolutely awesome. Except the Pasuk uses it. Okay? Yes?
But the Pasuk doesn't really say it in that context.
Yeah, but that's true. But the Pasuk says from the drasha it comes out that that's what the pasuk means. That's what the pasuk means. I mean, from the pshat the Chazal give to the pasuk.
Yeah, but it's like
that's correct.
So now Chazal are using that pshat to the pasuk.
You mean because they're bringing in the pasuk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer?
Yeah.
Miyakum Liyam Mirayim. I mean, Umolei Mikra Kosev is going on Miyakum Liyam Mirayim, Miyisyatsev Liyam Pole Oven, which is the Mikra that is tied to the other Mikra of Tzitkas Ad Hashem Oso Mishpat of Yisrael. So it's going on that Mikra. It's going on that Mikra. Boy, how do we know that Mikra is tied to this Mikra? That you know from the Drasha. But that's what it means. That expression, Miyakum Liyam Arayim, since Miyakum Liyam Arayim is going on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so if it wouldn't be Umolei Mikra Kosev, if it wouldn't be that it's a Mikra, so in other words, the Chazal know that that's saying that that's what the Mikra is referring to. But you wouldn't be allowed to say that expression if it weren't that it's a Mikra. But from the Pshat, the connection between Sitkas Hashem Osam Mishpat of Yisrael, so Miyakum Liyam Arayim is that reveals that Miyakum Liyam Arayim is speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that would be impossible to say. That pasuk Miyakum Liyam Arayim. Umolei Mikra Kosev Yeshel Omro. Okay, because it gives an implication that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs somebody. Okay. Well, this is different because it's a serious matter to say, to use. The thing is that's what the Rambam explains in the Mar Nevuchim, that certain expressions you're not allowed to use, even though you don't mean them, but it is a terrible isser because it's an isser against the Kvod Shemayim. That's what the Rambam says, that certain psukim that the Torah uses, that's the Rambam apparently interprets, El Molei Mikra Kosev Yeshel Omro, means you can only say it through the Mikra. That you can't say it outside of that framework. That it's relegated to Mikra, and you can't use any terms that imply any kind of defect or anthropomorphism, which is an obvious defect, that you're not allowed to use those expressions outside of the psukim. That's what the Rambam says in the Mar. He says that's a serious chait, because it's a violation of Klal Shemayim, and to do that through dibur is a terrible thing. So that's the Rambam. Apparently, that's the Rambam interprets. Omole mikra kasav yefshel amra means that means without the pasuk, you're not allowed to say it. You can only say it through the pasuk. So I mean, of course, if you're interpreting it as you're interpreting the pasuk, you have to say it. You know, you can interpret. But snam to borrow from those expressions, Rambam holds us. So that's why the Gemara uses this expression in many places. It's telling you that that's usher. Okay, so at any rate, okay, we understand why it's usher, but let's understand what the idea is. So it's interesting. So miyakum liyam ereim miyisatsu liyam pole oven. So Rashi says lo chichem l'shmi. Lo chichem l'shmi. That who could be mochiach klal Yisrael l'shem Hashem. L'shem Shemayim. It's an interesting, amazing chazal. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, miyakum liyam ereim miyisatsu liyam pole oven. That was the hespin. That once Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, there's nobody to do that. There's nobody to do that anymore. So what does that mean? It means, it's an unbelievable limud. Tzidkas Hashem asa u'mishpatav Yisrael. It means that he did tzidkas Hashem, but his greatness was that u'mishpatav Yisrael. That it was, tzidkas Hashem means a person could be right. A person could be mocha on a door. A door is doing something wrong. This person could be mocha. So he's right, Sitkas Ad Hashem. But it's not a mishpat of Yisrael. It's not going to help Klal Yisrael in terms of their mishpat from Hashem. So the great, that's a unique greatness in Moshe Rabbeinu. That when he did Sitkas Ad Hashem, it was Sitkas Ad Hashem expressed through God's will that should take place through Klal Yisrael. You see, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. So people could be right. Philosophically, you could be right. You could say something right in criticizing Klal Yisrael. But are you helping Klal Yisrael? In other words, are you helping the Mishpat Hashem or Mishpat of Yisrael? That you don't find. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was his uniqueness, you see. Just to be mocha, person mocha, yeah, he could be right, he's mocha on the door, and what he's saying is true, and you should be mocha, it's tzidkas ad Hashem. But it's not helping, it's not u'mishpat of Yisrael. See, it doesn't help Klal Yisrael. And many times it's worse, many times it causes machlekes and pirud, and it's even worse. So that's what Rashi says. It means that why is it lacking? Why is the tochacha lacking? Because the tochacha lacks one quality, and the quality is lishma. That quality of an absolute lishma, where the personality is completely uninvolved. That there's no personality involved in the tochacha. No emotional aspect or satisfaction that the individual who's the mochiach gains in any way or is driven by any kind of emotional force or energy, you see. It was completely lishma. It was l'shem Hashem. That's miyakum liyam ereim. That was the hesped that the Malach HaShoreis said, "Tzitzkas Hashem also umeshkot Yisrael and Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed the dimension. The dimension is miyakum liyam ereim. Who could be mochiach l'shmi? So you see, the tochacha that stems from a tochacha l'shma has a different effect, and that was lost once Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. That quality of absolute l'shma in tochacha was gone." You see, that was the husband. That's Tzidkas Ad Hashem also, but not Tzidkas Ad Hashem alone. That a person can do, an ordinary prayer, the Talmud Chacham can do, but U'mishpat of Yisrael, that it should be L'shem Hashem and nothing personal involved, and therefore the Mishpat Hashem El Amo should be L'tov and the Kiyum of God's, of the Ritzon Hashem through Am Yisrael should take place, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen anymore. That you don't have after Moshe Rabbeinu in the pure form. You see, that's the first pshat. Beautiful pshat, huh?
That, yeah. That makes sense with the with the pasuk that when Moshe called the mamrim him, that was his only chait.
Right.
Because he let that emotion come through.
That's correct. And the next one is a Shmuel Amar Mika Chacham Umiyodeya Pesha Dover. So Shmuel says this one. Mika Chacham Umiyodeya Pesha Dover. So Rashi says Shehoyodeya Lasos Pshara Beini Uvein Bonai. Okay. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that's a different aspect of the greatness and uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is that he was able to see the difficulty, and he could see why Klal Yisrael are chayev kliya, and he could come up with a solution. And he can come up with a solution. You see, the leader is not just the real leader, who was Moshe Rabbeinu, is not just a person that's a big tzaddik, is not just a person that even gets other people to be tzaddikim. That's great in itself, of course. But the real leader is the one that can devise a tactic and a means where he can invent and creatively produce a method and a means where the people, they can't reach the level, but he can think of another level of existence which is acceptable as existence, even though it's not the ultimate level that they were supposed to live on, you see? But nevertheless, they could still exist. That's his responsibility. It's an unbelievable concept of a leader, a different idea altogether. Which means that the responsibility, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he accepted the responsibility, he knew what it meant. And that meant to lasos pshara, what is the relation? Lasos pshara, miyodea, shayodea lasos pshara beini uvein bonai. So it means that he was able to creatively invent methods through which the people failed, so they failed, so they deserve kloya, utter annihilation, and to get them to be chozer b'tshuva and to reach the level that they were supposed to is not possible, but he was able to come up with another method. They won't, it's true, they won't be able to reach the level they were supposed to, but they're still worthy of existence. That's his responsibility. Not the same, not as good, but they can exist, they can continue. That's his responsibility, to implement the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Amo, Am Hashem, Am Yisrael. See, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was his greatness. To be able to do that was the unique level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Different kind of a leader. A leader who's involved in the nation on one level, and in Yediyas Hashem on another level, where he's able to create a situation that the Am Hashem continues to exist. Not as good as it should have been, but it's able to exist. That's his responsibility. That's Miyadeh Pesha Dava. That was the hesped of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the second shot. Like I said, there's not a machlokes.
Yeah.
It's each one is bringing out a different aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Very much related to the first thing.
Very much related. It's a different aspect. But it's a certain creativity, and it's a different concept of a leader, and what that position means, and what it entails, and how Yediyas Hashem plays a role, and the combination of Yediyas Hashem and understanding the Am, and how to execute the responsibility towards the Am, all these elements come together, and they result in one thing, that Klal Yisrael can continue. He was the only one that could do that. See, no one did that like him after. Yes?
What's EF Shalomra in this case?
Because EF Shalomra, because it sounds like this Mika Chacham, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, there's no one here like that, as if he needs it. You see, he needs it, like he's missing something. So that's why EF Shalomra. That's why EF Shalomra. Okay?
Doesn't need Moshe,
but... Doesn't need him. She says, but that's the implication. The form of the phrase implies that. Where is this? You know, where it can't be. It's lost. It's Akash Bacha doesn't lose anything. He doesn't need anything, and the whole thing doesn't apply to him. But the pasuk gave a matir to use that expression. Pasuk gave a matter to use that expression.
It remains an open question why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't offer the child. Moshe wasn't there.
No, because that's what you want to say. No, that's not a question. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't offer the pshara? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the same reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't offer a person just schar v'onesh, and why tefillah schana works, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers a person the opportunity of tefillah and creativity and being able to turn to his creator, that Adam can turn to his creator and produce a whole different scenario where things can happen, his fate could be different. That's God's will, that man should use chachma in every area. And that's the real leader. That he uses chachma, complete chachma, not only in leading the people, but in his Yediyas Hashem and the interaction between his knowledge of Yediyas Hashem and the people and what the situation is and what the mishpat is, and a complete comprehension and understanding of the problem and a solution based on all the fields that are available to his bechira. But the fields that are available to a human bechira by far exceed what the average person thinks the range is. A person as a chacham thinks differently in every area. His concept of bechira is different. The range of bechira is different. His yediyas Hashem is different. So everything is different. It's not simply that he exercises bechira better. That's a very low level of understanding of yadas. Yeah, this is a different kind of a system. It's different. The person who's in a higher sphere, he understands differently what the realm of his bechira is, the range, the possibilities of his bechira. It's a different Yediyas Hashem, so his whole world is different. So Moshe Rabbeinu's world was the greatest world of man that man can attain, and his Yediyah enabled him to understand exactly what his area of Bechira was allowed to entail, and he was able to analyze it perfectly and creatively and come up with a solution that saved Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Pesukim. You don't have to... even if you read it superficially, that sense is there. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Okay. Ratanichli. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw herif me many. So he saw that his bechira extends more than he thought. But he grabbed onto that idea because his mind was working on the highest level and he saw there's something here more. It was a creativity. It was a creativity of leadership in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu had and never existed after him. Different kind of creativity, different, completely different kind of a leadership. It's not possible for an ordinary person to even be in these realms, but nevertheless, the Torah—it's significant that we have an understanding of it. I mean, that itself for us is something that raises us to a different perception level, which means that we live on a different level of existence, if you understand the ideas. But that's what the Torah section. That was the Hesper. That was the second pasuk. That was Shmuel's pasuk. Yes.
It seems that's exactly what Moshe was concerned about when God gave him the Shmuel. He's says,
that's right.
Who is the nation and who am I?
That's right. That's correct.
How am I to do this?
That's exactly yeah. right. Exactly.
I have to understand them and I have to understand how to do
that's right.
creative.
That's right. Yeah. And he understood. He understood from the outset that that's where it's going and that's the responsibility and he didn't want to accept it because he understood it. But part of the godless Adam, I mean, it's, perhaps that's important to emphasize that. But part of the godless Adam is an understanding of the realm of your Bechira. And a small person has a very small understanding of the realm of Bechira. A greater person understands more the realm of his Bechira. It's a different thing. It's a different existence. I mean, so it's a qualitatively different level. I mean, that's Yahadus. People, of course, who don't have any conception of this always are puzzled by these psukim and these things because they don't understand what the psukim are trying to teach, you know, what the Torah is trying to teach. Yes?
What do you mean by realm of your
Bechira? Realm of your Bechira means the... means the range of your Bechira. Like most people have a very small notion of what the realm of Bechira is. Do good, do bad. I mean, that's about the extent of it. But to understand that a person's Bechira, even to understand the idea of Bechira in terms of tefillah, that itself is out of the ordinary. I mean, to understand that a person has Bechira, his Bechira extends to how he relates to his Creator, and that itself is the realm in the realm of his Bechira, and that's a completely different phenomenon, and has a, is a different area than Schar V'Onesh. It's a separate phenomenon. I mean, even that is something which is the average person doesn't understand. But Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of what could be done and what cannot be done, which he deduced benevua through the words that he received, the nevuah he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Heref Mimeni, so he says, so he realized that there's something here he could do. So his limud of the nevuah, his creative limud of the nevuah, showed him what is possible and what is not possible and what is possible. And he was able to create a situation where Klal Yisrael is able to continue to exist. That's creative understanding of the realm of Bechira, of what's in the range of his Bechira. That's the Heref. Okay? But, I mean, Heref, the Chazal is showing with one word, but the idea is a gigantic idea. Okay, but the concept is expressed. Chazal teaches the concept from that word. But that's what they're saying. The idol of suspension. That's the concept. Okay. The next thing, Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan says the last thing is Hachochma Me'ayin Timsa. That was the last thing. Hachochma Me'ayin Timsa. A chachma me'ayin timtza. What is a chachma me'ayin timtza? So a chachma me'ayin timtza, Rashi doesn't say anything on it. But Rashi, it's a pasuk in Iyuv. And Rashi in Iyuv says a lot on it. It's interesting. Over here he doesn't say anything. But the pasuk in Iyuv is in Iyuv Chavches. Pasuk says, a chachma me'ayin timtza, the Ezeh Mekom Bina. Okay. Where do you find Chachma and where is the place of understanding? Bina is of course a level greater. Chachma is acquisitive knowledge and Bina is creative knowledge. So where do you find Chachma? That's first. And where do you find creativity? That's the question that the Eev is presenting. Okay? So the Pasuk is presenting an Eev. So, yeah. So the pasuk goes on. Lo yoda enosh erko, a person doesn't know its breadth. Velo simotze be'eretz chayim. Okay, cannot be found in the land of the living. And the pasuk goes on. Tahom omar lovi, the depths of the sea say it's the depths say it's not in me. V'yom omar ein imadi. And the ocean says, it's not with me. So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, Uba'agoda hu omer. In the Agoda it says, Shebishas Matan Torah, the time of Matan Torah, Boa Sutton of Nea Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's funny, Chazal. A Sutton came before God, V'omalo Heichan Torah. Where is Torah? Omalo Eitzel Ben Amram. It's by Moshe Rabbeinu. Bolo Eitzel Moshe. So the Sutton came to Moshe. Omalo Heichan Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eitzel Yom. It's by the ocean. Bolo Eitzel Yom. So he went to the ocean. Amalo Heichan Torah. Where's the Torah? Lo Bihi. It's not in me. Lech Eitzel Ben Amram. Okay. Lech Eitzel Ben Amram. Bolo Eitzel Ben Amram. So went again to Moshe Ben Amalo Heichan Torah. So he said, Eitzel Tahom. It's in the depths. Bolo Eitzel Tahom. Amalo Heichan Torah. Amalo Eini Madi. Lech Eitzel Ben Amram. Bolo Eitzel Ben Amram. Amalo Heichan Torah. Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vezeu Shomar. Tahom Amar Lo Bihi. Viyom Amar Eini Madi. Okay?
Yeah. Him right away.
What?
Should have sent him to God right away.
He should have sent him right away. What? Should have sent him right away, yeah.
What do you mean? Hashem should have answered the stuff to run around. Yeah.
Back and forth. Back and forth. Yeah, it's a strange medrash, huh? I mean, it's a strange medrash. Because it makes Moshe Rabbeinu look like he was deceitful. Because first he tells him, the first time he went to him, So Kadosh Baruch says Eitzel Ben Amram.
Says,
why God says Eitzel Ben Amram? No, but then in the end, I mean, because the end, and then Ben Amram says, I'm Eitzel Kadosh Baruch. Eitzel Kadosh Baruch. Eitzel Kadosh Baruch. That's true. That's true. It needs a lot of interpretation. But it's an interesting message. I mean, the thing is that the thing is, could, if you can understand this medrash, perhaps you can deduce a method of understanding medrashim. You see, if you can interpret this medrash, let's try. Okay. What? Same problem. Okay. It's a circular problem. It's a circular problem. You see, the first clue you have in the medrash is what? The first clue you have in the medrash is what? Yeah, that you know right away. Yeah. By the way, that's something that I just like to reemphasize that in Torah, in our system of Torah, our Masorah is not what people think like the Bible, because our Masorah is a system. Our Torah, our Yahadus, is a system that is a system of Chochmah that precedes our engaging in the Torah itself. And it's like the Rashbam mentions that the Chachmei Amenu, he says, the Chasidei Amenu, he says, that when they find something, for instance, he says, that is scientific knowledge. So then they interpret the Torah in the metaphor. But it's not simply, everybody knows that, but that's not simply restricted to that. You find it in many places. For instance, in the Pasuk in Yisrael, Vayamor Omar Moshe min ha-boker ad orav. So, and over there it says, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that he was answering their questions all day long. But Chazal say over there, V'chiyef Shel Omakein, and came to Rasa Matelah. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean Pshuta Kamashma. So you see, we don't interpret Pshuta, even though that pasuk lends itself to Pshuta Kamashma more than any other pasuk, it's plain Pshat, and then that seemed to be the problem over there with Yisrael. But no, Chazal say, you can't say that because Tarasa Matela. So you see that we approach Torah with a body of knowledge from Sinai, because you don't just approach the Torah and say what it says, Pshuta Kamashma, that's it. It demands a prerequisite of knowledge. So even though the pasuk is mashma, Pshuta Kamashma, and there's nothing be more straightforward. Vayamar Amosh min abagad orav. What could be more plain and simple? But Chazal said, no, v'chiyaf shalom akein, it's not possible, because that would mean that Moshe Rabbeinu stopped learning and just answered the questions. And that can't be. So they learn a different drush out of it. So you see that's really our whole system is based on that concept. It's based on that concept. You have to remember that, because people tend to forget about these things, especially when they see Midrashim and Chazal that somehow or other may pull on some emotional chords. So they tend to forget that. But you have to remember, it's not just a matter of, it's a matter of anything that, the way Chazal approached the Torah is based on a system of knowledge and reason and chokhmah, and then we try to understand Torah. And if it's not Pshuta Kamashma, so then it means something else. You have to interpret it some other way. You have to understand what it means.
Really?
So, yes, yes.
This is a beautiful Ibn Ezra. In Fakdama?
Yes. Yeah, I know the Ibn Ezra, right? We're the same one in what do you call it, in Aseres Dibros.
Yeah.
Right, yes, that's correct. The Ibn Ezra says it there, but I wanted to point out a Chazal which is clearly and succinctly and clearly shows you that, and it's not matters of, not scientific matters, it's matters of Yisod Yados. That certain things we know can't be, and when you see the pasuk, it has to mean something else. That's our, that's real Yahadus. That's our system. That's our system. Our system is, that's Ibn Ezra means. He says that that chachma is, you must have the chachma first in order to approach Torah. Okay, so you mustn't forget that. But anyways, so that's what we're committed to. So getting back to this Chazal, to this Agada, Divrei Agada over here. So what is the one point in this Divrei Agada that stands out? I mean, you know, you need to start somewhere. There's something you have to start with over there. No?
Sutton?
Yeah. What is the Sutton interested in the Torah for? Okay. What is the Sutton's asik in the Torah? So Sutton's asking, where's the Torah? That's something funny. Okay? But that shows, really, that's the key. Because what it's doing is, it means that the Sutton means the instinctual component in man. So it means that the Sutton wants to find out, because the Sutton recognizes a tremendous benefit in knowledge. So the Sutton wants to have that too. I mean, and essentially, the Sutton is not stupid. The Sutton is never represented as a foolish component of the man. It's the instinctual, but it's tied to intelligence. So the Sutton is trying to find out where is that mine of chachma. Where is that from? How do we get that? How do we quantify that? How do we obtain it and gain it and have it under our control? Because the Sutton recognizes that knowledge is everything. You see? That's the question. You see? But that's the mashal. That's the Sutton's. That's why the Sutton has an asik in chachma. Because the Sutton is not stupid. It recognizes that that's everything. So how do you control that? How do you take that, harness that ability, that knowledge, which is really the source of everything? If you have that, you have everything. Everybody knows that. How do you do that? So the Sutton, that's what I mean, the Sutton came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eitzel ben Amram. Moshe Rabbeinu has it. Okay? So the Sutton went to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, he said, let's just interpret what the answer is. He says, Bolo etz Moshe Rabbeinu, amolo echdam, amar etzel yom. What does it mean, etzel yom? What is yom? So yom is used in Chachma, because it's gadol mana yom, gadol mana yom, rechava mana yom. So rechava mana yom means a breadth of knowledge, a breadth of knowledge. It means that if you want Chachma, you can't limit yourself to one sphere, but Chachma requires a rachavos, a broadness of das. It's a pervasiveness of das. So that was the answer. The answer was, how do you obtain Chachma? A person obtains Chachma through gaining a breadth of knowledge and seeing all knowledge that is available. And through that, the individual will be able to proceed in Chachma. You see? Okay? That's a good answer. That's good. That's probably the answer you'd get today. That's the way you do it. Okay? That's the way the individual gains knowledge. Okay? He involves himself in knowledge, but not just in a limited sphere, but in the interrelationship between all the branches of knowledge, and then he gets a scope. And he could, so to speak, ascend the heights and the ladder of wisdom and knowledge, and he has a whole view. That's the way for a person to become a chacham. That's the method. Okay, that's probably the answer you'd get today. That's the method. In other words, if you want chachma, that's what you have to do.
Question right out there.
Yes. Okay, that's what we have to get to that. But now the Divrei Agada says, but the answer was immerse yourself in knowledge, and you'll become a chacham, and you'll gain chachma. So now it says though that the Sutton comes back, and he goes to the Yam, Bola Etzel Yam, Amalechem Torah. Lo bihi. What does it mean, lo bihi? Lo bihi means that it does. See, the mashal, you have to understand, what the mashal is not a literal thing. You say, what it means, lo bihi means simply, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. That the person can immerse himself in knowledge, and he can have all the facts and all the essences of the sciences in his mind, and he still is not the chacham. He still is devoid of reaching that source from where the chachma stems. You see, he still is missing it. That's what it says, bolo etzel ben Amram. It doesn't mean that it went back to Marshall Man. It means the Marshall saying that when the individual, when the Sutton did that, so to speak, okay, he saw that it doesn't work. And then he looked at Ben Amram and he saw he doesn't have what Ben Amram has. You see? The derech of the Agoda is to use a mashal, but the mashal is, you see, when it keeps going back to Ben Amram, it means that the Sutton fulfilled that experiment, so to speak, and then he looked at Ben Amram and he said, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. You see, Ben Amram is the individual that has that thing, that magical thing, so to speak, the thing that everybody wants that's indefinable and so valuable and so essential, yet intangible and undefinable, the source of Chachma. So the first... the first answer, which was the Yam, you see, was what he deduced from his engaging Ben Amram, because that's what he saw. You see, he saw that. He saw that breadth of knowledge. That's the answer. So he went and immersed himself in it. But he didn't get what Ben Amram has, you see. So then he went back to Ben Amram, which means he again took a look, another look at Moshe Rabbeinu, and he saw to home. He saw that there's a whole world of depth and creativity, the creative process. And that creative process is what Ben Amram has. And one, it's not enough to master all of knowledge and all of the essential ideas and grasp them and immerse oneself in them. But there's an involvement in the creative process itself, which is of a different type altogether, you see. And that's the home. That's the depth. And that is necessary. And then if a person has that, then he'll really master knowledge, you see. And that is, again, something which, if that were presented to an intelligent audience, they would agree with that solution. That's the way you master knowledge. I mean, that's it. The breadth, the involvement, fully immersed in all the ideas and the concepts and all the knowledge of philosophy and science and the Torah, everything. So that's one thing. And then to engage oneself in the in-depth creative process itself, that's the answer to home. Now you have it. But the Sutton, when he did it, he looked at Ben Amram and he said, I don't have it. Don't have it. So Bolo Eitzel Ben Amram. So he looked at Ben Amram and asked for the solution, and he received the answer. And the answer is Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that with all the breadth of knowledge, with all the genius and creativity, but knowledge is only given from God. And that is in the personality of the individual who is the true Oved Hashem, and his soul is attuned in a way that is receptive to the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a state of perfection. And without that state of perfection, the knowledge is not attainable. Even with all the knowledge the individual has, with all the breadth of knowledge, with all the creativity and genius, but knowledge itself will still fail. Will still fail, and he still will not attain real knowledge. And the only way that the individual attains true knowledge is through a state of perfection of the soul, where the individual is tuned in to a certain Chochmas Hashem and is able to receive it. And that is only possible in the Adam HaSholem, you say. So the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the answer of Moshe Rabbeinu was the same answer, you say. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, where is it? Ben Amram. Ben Amram said, where is it? Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same thing. Because Ben Amram was the person that achieved that level. So it's not achieved through any means, neither through the means of the of being immersed in the vast ocean of knowledge, or through the means of the depth and creativity and genius of man. And in either of those, it does not exist. That what doesn't exist, that true creativity. You see, the true insight that a person reaches in the height of knowledge, which is only mipi agvor, which is only mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is only possible where the soul is tuned in to the Chachmas Hashem, and that's only in a state of total perfection. See, that's the Medrash. So that was the Hesped. That a Chachma mei ayin tavo. Chazal say by the way, Chachma mei ayin tavo. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, who asa atzmo ka'ayin. It means that he was like nothing. And because Vayish Moshe Anav Miyod, because he whose soul is proper, in the proper state before God, is ka'ayin. It's ka'ayin. So that was the third aspect of the Hesped. That the Hesped was that when Moshe Rabbeinu was niftar, that chachma was gone, and that affected Klal Yisrael. That type of creative chachma that stems from the perfection of man, total perfection, was gone and lost, and he was the head of the chachamim, and because of his loss. It was, that's what Chazal say, that Mishas Moshe Rabbeinu was kama alachas were lost. You know, many alachas were lost. That's what it means. It means that the source of Chachma for Klal Yisrael, which was through Moshe Rabbeinu, was lost, and it affected the whole of Klal Yisrael because that quality was gone. That quality of Chachma was gone. And that quality was lost, so the whole door lost out. They didn't see that quality of Chachma anymore. It's gone. So it's true they remembered a lot, but that not seeing it in actuality was the greatest loss in terms of the Chachma of the door. Just being able to witness it. You see, was a different level of chachma for the people that witnessed it. You see, and that was lost. So that was the third aspect of that. So that's the other. So that's why I mentioned it, because we said last week the concept of where chachma stems from, and that's with Yosef HaTzadik as well. That batach b'chachmaso, but that chachma comes. Where is that chachma? It's Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Eitzel Ben Amram. It means it stems from that type of insight. That's what, and Paro had that understanding. Acharei hodia ad Hashem oschos kol zos, einavon v'chacham kamocha. That's what he meant. Yosef, of course, explained it to him. It wasn't his own, his intelligent man, but he understood what Yosef was saying. Acharei hodia ad Hashem oschos kol zos, einavon v'chacham kamocha. He understood that is the Navon and the Chacham. The one who has that perfected state that he's tuned in to Chochmas Hashem. Yes?
Why did it come from the
Sefer
again?
Like
why
because the Sotan, you see, what the Medrash is saying is that the Sotan wants that. Because the Sotan recognizes that knowledge is the greatest thing. And if the Sutton can take knowledge and quantify it and control it, it'd be able to use it for its own means. But unfortunately for the Sutton, fortunately, the fact is that it's not that such thing is not possible, because real chachma, the way God created the world and the way God created man, is in such a manner that real chachma will only come through to the perfected individual. And because of that, the instinctual will always fail, because it could never really get chachma, because of its nature defies chachma. And no matter how much effort it puts into technical methods of attaining knowledge and mastering knowledge, He'll never master it. He can never master it. Because a chachma me'ayin tava. And it's not possible.
That's really the last pasuk in that parak.
Yes, what's the last pasuk? Go ahead.
Yomel Adam, hein yiras Hashem hi chachma.
Hey, Jesus.
The sur me'ra bina.
That's correct. That's correct. That's what the pasuk means. That's what the pasuk means. So that's a defeat of the satan. That's a defeat of the satan. The satan, of course, represents people. I mean, the satan is the instinctual component of the man, and there are individuals that live that life of this, which is represented by the satan. Of course, it's a component of the man. It's not something abstract. It's a reality. It depends on the individual. One individual is really the actualization of the satan. So there are people of that mindset. I mean, I don't have to go be specific about it. You see it all the time in the world. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Yes?
Does the final stage include the previous stages that were rejected? And it's just saying, in addition, you require the perfection before Kodesh Baruch Hu, or...
Yes, of course. Of course. It's not saying... That's correct. I mean, that's another point of the Medrash. The Medrash, there's no shortcut. A person become... that's what the Goyim Lahavdol. I mean, crazy ideas that... some kind of righteousness, and you'll become a chacham. No, it requires is gadol man hayam, rachav man hayam, and it's tahom, it's depth, and it's you need these that all these things are necessary, and those things are necessary. That comes from nowhere, but and it's not possible to be perfected without those things, anyways. But those are the elements, but the underlying element of the real source of knowledge, of all of the tahom, and the yam and the tahom, all these things are components that, in the proper soul of man, result in chachma, where the real source of chachma is. That's what the Agud is saying. It's explaining the words of the Navi and Eov. Yes.
Why does it reference Moshe as Ben Alma? Why doesn't it just say Moshe?
That's what I was thinking about. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good question.
No.
What Maxim's saying is right, that the way the Sutton looks at Moshe Rabbeinu is Ben Amram.
He's just a
quantifiable entity. That's good. That's good. Good question. Yeah. That's not the secret. That's not the real secret of the source of knowledge. That remains Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that can't change. And all the energy and all the involvement will not be able to substitute for that quality. That's really what the God is saying. Okay. In other words, when it says it goes back to Ben Amram, it doesn't mean literally that he's going back. It means he looks again at Ben Amram. That's correct. He looks again at Ben. That's the aspect of methodology that I meant. You can't take literally he's going there for instruction. You have to realize that what the Medrash is saying is it tried this method, but then it looked back at Ben Amram. It doesn't have it. Tried it, no, still doesn't have it. Then the ultimate realization was that it can't have it, and the Medrash tells you what the real, whether the individual that is really the actualization of the Satan is going to come to that conclusion. That's not the Medrash is asking. Medrash is trying to tell you what the real answer is. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And that's what I wanted to come back to. I think we mentioned last one. That there is the mystery of knowledge. And that's what Yadda says. The mystery of how a person arrives at a piece of knowledge is something which is not explainable. But what Yadda tells us is that it is a result of an attitude of the soul, a proper attitude of the soul, which is the prerequisite for that acquisition, for that acquisition of knowledge. And that's a prerequisite for the knowledge to be chal in the individual. So it's not a simple thing like chopping wood, which is going to result in a big pile of wood at the end of the day. It simply does not work that way. So a person can have a problem, and he can be working on a problem, and it could be preoccupying him for years. He could go nowheres, and then a certain perfection of the soul could take place, and a certain attitude of the soul, and the solution will become clear to him. You see, so you can't apply the ordinary means, and that's the mistake of the secular world, that they think they can apply ordinary means and make analogies between ordinary efforts and the effort of knowledge. It simply doesn't work. It's a different kind of phenomenon and a different type of sphere. It's similar but much worse than equating the body to a machine. I mean, that's a bad analogy physiologically, because the body is a living organism. But people do that. But that's a physical error. But in terms of the soul and knowledge, to equate the area of knowledge to the area of other efforts and endeavors, and to use the same criteria and to predict success based upon the criteria that you borrow from other areas is completely erroneous. Completely erroneous. There's no correspondence between these two spheres, because this is dependent on something completely different. It's dependent on the perfection of the soul. Yes? That's the nature of man, is he wants to think that things are very similar to things the way that are ordinary. In most areas, people approach things that way. In psychology, people approach things that way, usually to no avail, because when you go into areas that are different, you try to use analogies from other spheres. The analogies may, on the surface, superficially sound good, but an in-depth evaluation shows you you're in a different world. And you just can't use these types of analogies. So it doesn't work in any scientific thing. Although attempts are always made that way, people always make attempts to do that. Whether it's in psychology, or whether it's in philosophy, or whether it's in metaphysics. I mean, or whether whatever area they try to do that, simplify things. Like I mentioned, like the example of the body's a machine. All these type of things. Try and attempt to take familiar things and say, this is the way things run, and therefore we could simply plug everything into this thing. And now we understand how it goes. Just doesn't work. Things just don't work that way, because there are qualitative differences. And the tendency of man to try to master it, his desire to master it, that's really sutta. See, the sutta really represents the desire to master it. And the truth of the matter is that the chacham has no desire of mastery. That's the farthest thing from him, from his desire. That says me'ayin chachma me'ayin tavo. He is just completely in awe of chachma, and it's the opposite attitude, and that's why, and that's the strange formula of the medrash. The strange formula of the Medrash is that the desire for mastery itself leads to ultimate frustration. Okay, because that's what the Satan is trying to master and control this thing, to master. But on the contrary, it is in those who are not under the influence of mastery, you see. That is the honor of Mikol Adam. That's Eitzel Ben Amram. So it's exactly the opposite. So the question turns on itself. You see, the source turns on itself. That's basically what the Agadah is. That's what the Agadah is. Yes? When it says the Satan goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what it's telling you is that don't think of the Satan as averse to the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People think of Satan like a devil. Like a, is not true. Not true. The Sutton also recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's from his framework. You see, there's a deep concept there. There's a deep concept in that idea. You see, not the Sutton is hides from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that doesn't. That's correct. But this right. But the Sutton also recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not stupid. So every aspect of the Medrash is teaching you another facet, another idea. That I would say is the idea of that first the first element. But the Sutton also recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but from his standpoint, from his own standpoint, and for his own reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What the next element?
The answer it's by Ben Amra means. It is, the answer resides in a certain gavra. That's the answer. But the Sutton persists. And you know, what does that gavra have? You see? Okay, good.